AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning, everyone, and as always, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. So no matter where you have family members or friends living, ask them to go to their radio, turn on the dial, and listen to us here. We'll be here until 12 o'clock. Also, family members and friends from throughout the United States can go to their internet site and go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and on the left-hand side, you can see the Listen Live link, which outlines that we're here every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Today, I'm here again with two very, very distinguished people. Joseph Evangelist, our consumer advocate, who is always very well-read, who consistently sends me various programs to look at and various articles that I should read. And he has really helped to promote the cause of American workers and discuss many of the things that killed America's economy over the last 40 years plus. I'm also here with the ever popular John Groch, and I'm really pleased that he'll be joining us today. And I'm going to ask everybody to speak up and let it be heard. After Labor Day, we will be going to phone calls once again. All of our systems are back into good standing, and we will be able to speak with you, get your opinions on air, and move forward as we help American workers. Well, as all of you know, beginning on Monday, the Republican convention starts in the USA in Tampa, and the following week, the Democratic convention becomes a big part of our national reality as well. We'll be listening to hear what these people have to say at the convention. As I've been talking to people, I don't really think that majority of the national leaders still get the message that jobs are the number one issue. At the conventions, they'll be discussing 1,001 issues, but I really think that they should focus upon job. It's really good to see that national elected and also candidates for many levels of Congress and Senate are discussing the importance of private sector businesses being created here in the USA. Yet, although we don't know it, what's clear about what they're talking about, I made a suggestion a few times to focus upon the clothing industry. Now, in the last few weeks, as I've gone around looking to see what's available for school supplies and things like that, I have seen more made in the USA this year. If you remember last year at this time, they focused upon a few colleges that were giving out those books to get your school supplies, and they were giving it to the future students in June so that all the supplies could be purchased and on hand by first day of school, which would be the last week of August. Well, some of those schools were called on the carpet because they had absolutely nothing made in America. There has been some improvement. Some of the schools have gone to feature a lot of American-made items. Others simply were not able to get American-made items, so they're still using the foreign-made. But hopefully by next year this time, we'll have results. Also, I am pleased to say once again that as I go shopping and speak directly to the salespeople, sometimes the manager, and I just give them one of my American Workers Need You flyers, some of the people are saying they've never seen this many people speaking up about jobs, their concern for their own loved ones, their neighbors. And what are we going to do, they're saying, when all that we get on our merchandising sheets is foreign-made stuff? So I talked to someone this week, and I thought it was a good idea. And I said, well, maybe we should get after the merchandisers to put a little American flag near some of the products that they're offering that are totally American made. Man stopped me in the store and he said, well, I bought New Balance sneakers. And he said, the brand that I am buying is made in the USA and advertised accordingly. I said, well, very nice. I said, how about some of the other brands? He said, I'm not sure, but I buy the American made product and I go out of my way to make sure that I let those people know. And everybody that is buying sneakers for school and sports, they're trying to go out of their way as well to make sure that our clothing and textile industry at least stays where it is, if not raises up in the future. As I mentioned also in the past commentaries and past discussions, the possibility of getting back some of our clothing industry, and no matter what excuse we hear and how many demands are going to be made of the managers and the owners and investors, we have to do something because it's not even really, it's hard to believe, it's not even imaginable that our children are walking around clothed in 100% foreign made items when their moms and dads, neighbors and family could have a job manufacturing those clothes, advertising those clothes, selling those clothes, shipping those clothes. It simply doesn't make sense to me. These are good, steady jobs that could be available for people in many categories. And I know that there are many factions that are trying to let everything stay where it is right now. And I'm going to ask Joe to begin today by giving me your opinion. What is holding back the clothing industry from at least going up 20% this year, 20% next year?
The biggest issue that you have is I did a study almost 15 years ago we had people who were looking to bring sneaker industry back into Philadelphia. And I was doing this with LaSalle, and I mean, one of the gentlemen who was on the committee with me was from Crown Court Concealer. He was a high executive. And the piece that it was is it's not viable to bring these back. Whether in the sneaker area there are certain types of glues, et cetera, that are banned in the United States that are used in 90% of the shoes. So the only thing you're going to bring back is straight leather work because you can't use the bonding techniques because the EPA bans that.
Okay. Is it now time for the EPA to sit down with our manufacturers and see what could be worked out? There's got to be some middle of the road that we can all walk down.
Well, it's not that. It's just that that's one barrier. For example, is we came up that we could actually make shoes here. And I mean, we could make them at a competitive price. I mean, they wouldn't be low-end shoes. You can make them at a competitive price, pay reasonable wages. But then we had the things that could grind the whole thing to a halt. One of them would be the EPA comes in and stops your use of something that you're using. And one of the things that was interesting is the EPA had banned one of the first hot press glues, and then they went to a cold press glue, and the EPA banned that one, and that was the end because there was no solution. So when the EPA banned it, that was the end. You couldn't actually make this in the U.S. anymore. The second piece was you had labor, is you had the threat of work stoppages. In order, the goal of this scenario was to employ people, not make a profit. So this business was staged to run as a break-even enterprise. So if the EPA comes in and stops you, or a union rep comes in and stops that, at that point, the people who are running this business are putting money into the system. So the problem is, the whole structure is based on this premise that business owners are making a small fortune. If you wanted to go to full employment here, what you'd want to do is you'd want to produce things at a break-even cost. So whether it's the government puts money in, people who are investing in sustainable areas put money in, and they all put it in and there's employment. So there's enough for investment left over in the business, but there's not really a profit to say. The problem is you still have problems with EPA issues. You have problems with raw material in this country, and you have problems with labor. And any one of them that stops it requires the people who set up this operation, who aren't making any money off of it, to put their own money in. And the solution to that problem is to fire everybody and close shop.
And that is exactly what I've been hearing from many of the companies that are struggling along to keep their businesses afloat. The problem is that they say is that national leadership over the last 30 plus years have not been concerned about jobs in the USA. It was that simple group of people, 500 plus elected people in Washington, making decisions for all of us that in the end wound up killing our economy and placing us into $16 trillion in debt. What I would like to see is I would like to see union people come in and speak with us. I'd like to see someone from the EPA come in here in the fall, and let's talk some of these things out. When people say, oh, it's a pollution factor, I'm sorry, does anyone know that the world is round and that pollution in the atmosphere comes around to America? It's too many things. There's too many new technologies that could help us to exist, but people are finding too many reasons to destroy it. It's very clear that we need to focus on every type of job. I'm focusing on the clothing industry. I want to do something positive because, believe it or not, some of our young people have not seen anything made in America for a long, long time. That means their livelihood in the future is in question right now. If you're not making right here in this USA, well, what are you going to be making in the future? Are we going to outsource our lives? Should we start packing up and moving abroad? It really doesn't make sense. And what angers me is the fact that the politicians seem to think that life is going to just go on as it has after the election and will just move forward. I think right now the people in the USA have to start demanding results from the politicians. I want to hear President Obama, Vice President Biden. I want to hear Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Tell me what they have to put on the table today, not once they're elected and inaugurated in January. I'm not interested in that. I want to know what they're going to do today to end this cycle where our young people, some of the people that I speak to, are out of school 6 and 7 years, and they still haven't really got that start up the ladder because there's nothing for them to go to. And people listening right now, some of you know people in your own families that are in this situation, and it's a disgrace.
Well, the other piece that you have to look at is we have, as moving to a service economy, is the government has thrown lots of money into areas that have caused rapid inflation. I mean, construction and housing is one. Education is an area. Healthcare is an area. I mean, as the government throws money, whether it's through loans, Fannie, Freddie, Stafford loans, they cost the taxpayers money, but they also cause inflation. There's like there's something around $1 trillion in student loans now that the government has.
You're right. And what happened with the schools, it's become a business, a service-oriented business. Unregulated, many of the people go to the schools. First of all, let's just go to our junior high school and high schools across the USA. When people say our sons and daughters are, you know, we're top of the class and all, well, when you bring in some summer students from afar, our students here don't even shine next to them. They come in, they're knowledgeable, they're respectful, they're timely. It's a whole different world. We've taught too many people to watch MTV or whatever, and that those people on the TV are the real people that are the main influence in your life.
It's even worse than that is a couple of areas outside of business where we teach these kids the wrong thing is if you go and pay to play for your kid to play baseball or football, everybody plays. Everybody gets a trophy. There is nobody knows. There's no winners. There's no losers. In many cases, they don't even keep score. because, you know, you can't tell a kid that he's not good at this.
It's got to be.
But
it's got to come to an end.
There's also other sides. Like in the one area, there's a 297-pound 12-year-old whose mother is fighting that he should be able to play in the under-145-pound league because if he plays with bigger kids, he could get hurt. But the fact is we're actually allowing this argument here. This kid is has 150
pounds. He's out of his league, as they say.
Yes.
He's out of his league.
It's against his... It's a violation, or the mother believes it's a violation to let him play on his own.
There's no violation. That's what they call preparing. If she wanted him to be in that, she should have made sure that his weight was according to the standards of the team. Not that the team is going to change their standards to accommodate not only him, her, or anybody else.
Well, we've taught these kids that we will accommodate you.
And that's got to be changed. We'll be back in a minute. Go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here at 860 AM Radio. I'll be back with John Gruch and Joseph Evangelist. The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language.
The office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Vojimir Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. Remember, you can listen to us on the internet from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I'm Michael Blihash, your host, and I first would like to say thank you to the many people that have been spreading the word about our efforts. We've certainly made some inroads in politics. We've made inroads in the media, and we've made inroads in the minds and the hearts of the American people who are really tired of all that has been happening in the USA to take our jobs and take our stability and our economy and just throw it out the window. Well, my answer to everything that is going on right now in the USA and in the world is cost containment. Everybody thinks that by raising the prices, they're going to make more money. But when you get your salary increased, somebody has to, it's a vicious chain of events that it goes nowhere. About 2 months ago, I suggested that we have a freeze on all everything that's around, all property taxes, all costs, gas, everything has to be restored at a 2 year or say a 1990 or a 2009 level. Well, believe it or not, some people thought that was a decent idea. One person contacted me and said, you know, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea. That would make American-made products more competitive with some of the foreign-made products where people are now starting to demand more money for their products. We can do anything we want in the USA if we go out of our way to do it. You need a cheerleader. You need a cheerleader. And I want to say I often bring up Diane Sawyer for doing what she did with the Buy American Made campaign. So, John, if I asked you today how your students in school are doing when they graduate from St. Joe's or from a college, how are they doing work-wise?
Well, I don't have exact numbers, but I'd be willing to bet that their experience is the same as the national average. It can be said that there are certain schools that may have a stronger network of graduates who enable people to get jobs because, you know, as we all know, not speaking totally negatively, but who you know makes a big difference in the job that you get. But that's the way it's always been. You know, I might have mentioned on air a number of sessions ago that I got my first job because of some connections that I had, people who advocated for me and put me in a position to get my first job. So to answer your question, I would say that they're probably in the ballpark of the national statistics. And I know individuals who have had difficulty getting their jobs even after several years out of college.
You know, when I see things advertised on TV or I speak with people and they say, I'm doing everything on the net now, I'm not going anywhere, that's really not very good. Because social skills are lost, number one. And I mentioned once before that a girl who did not drive said to me, I'm concerned because all of the jobs that I see advertised on the internet are all quite a distance from here, and I don't drive, which I'm going to get around to doing at that time. But I said to her, well, then if that's the case, take your resume and go 2 miles from your house and see what you can come up with. Well, luckily for her, she went, and within a mile and a half of her house, she dropped the resume off. The woman said, well, there's nobody here. If you want, come back in a couple days and, you know, make sure that the right person got it, which she did. And the person was so impressed that she came back to do a follow-up that she was hired by the company. But that is the old way of doing business, going around. I always tell people, go 5 or 6 miles from your house first. Distribute your resume. Your travel time alone saves a lot of your life, a lot of gas, and a lot of emotional well-being. Also, no traffic jams and stuff like that are reduced. But it also allows the person who is possibly going to hire you to see you and to know that you're dependable, you're coming back when you are, encouraged to come back. And the new form of networking simply isn't doing the job. Well, the new form of networking also did something which is very negative, The new form of network took away the responsibility of our national leaders to know what's happening in our job market. They say, oh, well, everything is being handled on the net now. We're, you know, just go on the net. They know how to get rid of you so that you're not calling them again for any kind of advice or whatever. The fact of the matter is they don't have the jobs. We don't have places to send people. And who more than them know that? Seeing our tax base shrink, more people unable to go places, which means they're not wasting their time, but they're not able to go to to all kind of entertainment or go down the shore as often as they did during this beautiful time of year. Go out and eat, go out and enjoy life, because there's no money in their pocket. They have to pay basic bills. So the politicians should have seen this 30 years ago. I've been pushing it for some years, and every politician says to me, there's always a cycle. It'll all come around. Everything will be fine. When will it be fine? The conventions are coming up. I'd like to see what they're going to recommend to make it fine.
I don't think they're going to recommend anything. The big problem that I have is we have, in my opinion, we have two generations of dysfunctional applicants. Is the people who came out in the 90s, my generation, is they changed jobs every 8 to 12 right. months. Is it was you jump ship, you left, you went to the next job, and it was as long as you could walk in, you know, there was someone else who would hire you because work was there, particularly in the tech industry and construction and everything else. So these people, their whole life has been, I show up, I get a job. They've never had the network. They've never had to do that. It's been, I can say I worked for, you know, so company A, and I can go to company B. The current generation is based completely on computers, and they have the worst interviewing skills of anything I have ever seen. I mean, I have seen people walk into interviews wearing sneakers and shorts. I have had a guy who I sat down with and I said, well, what is your availability? And he said, right now, I'm available every day. But as soon as something comes along, I won't be available anymore. Well, guess what? You're not an applicant anymore. You know, if you're blatantly going to tell me that you're leaving the moment that you find something else that interests you, I really don't need you.
Right. And you can see that on resumes. There's some people, they're out of school 5 years and they've had five jobs. That, as an employer, I wouldn't want to have that person, because I know that as soon as they're trained, they're on the road. Yep. They're on the road again. Forget it. This here is a situation where I think that we have to have a national discussion to bring America back to life. Too many of the American people sat back and did nothing and absolutely said nothing. And it was just sit around and you know, just wonder what's tomorrow going to bring. Life is what you make it. I always tell people that. Life is what you make it. If you want to do something positive, it can be done if you put some time and effort into doing it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. That is my advice to our political leaders who are seeking our votes come November. Tell us how you're going to bring America back to life. If you were there at the national convention, John, and you were ready to give advice to any of the candidates, what would you ask them to do regarding jobs in the USA right now?
I guess my first question would be, are you going to be promoting jobs in only one sector or at one level? Or are you going to try to promote jobs at all levels? Because they're needed at all levels. And as I see it right now, I just read something in the paper today about the Republican platform with regard to the economy. And the word that was used was they wanted to maintain or return to an upwardly mobile workforce. Well, upwardly mobile means you want more money for the least amount of work. That's my interpretation. You know, you want to, as Joe was suggesting, kids today, they want the best job with the best money That's how they would judge success. I'd be leery about that. I think that we need to try to focus on jobs across the whole gamut. And that's why it is so important to bring jobs back to America, because a lot of those are in manufacturing and in many cases, lower level jobs. But that's how a lot of executives today started. I mean, you hear all kinds of success stories about guys who start at the bottom, work their way up. That kind of upwardly mobile is fine. But I'm afraid that many people expect upwardly mobile to be starting close to the top and just working your way closer to that ultimate top.
Right. Just like any foundation of a house, you don't start building the roof down. You start with the foundation and move up. So many people that go to the job fairs, when I get notices to advertise the job fairs, people always tell me, thank you for letting your people know that they should come appropriately addressed and properly prepared with resumes and contact sheets. It's very disturbing to have people come in just like they're coming off the beach and looking for a job. I mean, the first thing that employers want to see is that you're coming to be looked at in a respectful way. Before you have anything to offer, you want to see the person and say, my God, this is somebody that I could see as part of our team. We'll be back in a few minutes with Joseph Evangelist and John Grock. I'm Michael Blihash. Stay tuned and hope you're enjoying our broadcast. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. I believe Joseph Evangelist has something he would like to add.
Well, I think one of the things that John was talking about with the Republicans is the upwardly mobile job is that there needs to be a career path. I mean, it used to be you went through, you learned at the bottom up. You know, you may have started as a janitor or an apprentice in an area and moved forward. And, you know, the old joke was, is, you know, the guy wants to win the lottery, he keeps praying to win the lottery, and ultimately God says to him, you know, meet me halfway, buy a ticket. And we've been catering to people so that they don't actually have to put anything in. Is, you know, they go to school and they get a degree that, you know, really doesn't have any application in the real world. They need a job. They want to be they want to start in the middle. They don't want to start at the bottom anymore. So what happens is, you know, the new job training programs that we have is the government is actually paying the employees of people when they're in the apprenticeship position. So you hire somebody, You apply and say, I need somebody to train this job, whatever else. And during the whole training period for 6 months or a year, the federal government is paying for the employee for this company. Now, the reason is either the employee wasn't willing to go get training on his own, or he wasn't trained in that area, or he needs to be retrained. But that should be the responsibility of the employee, not of the taxpayer. I mean, the catch is if you have a degree that has no applicable piece. I mean, I know somebody who is going to college for automotive technology. Now, they teach this in vocational high school. They teach this in Orleans Technical. But he's paying $20,000 a year to get what could be much less expensive. Now, is his degree going to be better than one that he got at a technical school? Probably not. But he's getting the college experience, and he's racking up the college debts. And, you know, he's like, well, when I come out, I'm going to need this high-end job. Well, when he goes in, he's going to be the guy at the dealership who changes the oil. He's not going to get the high-paying jobs because there's a ranking system you move through. You know, you start out, you get the stuff that really doesn't pay a whole lot because you're new.
This past weekend, I was at the shore, and I spoke to some of the younger people. I was doing my surveys lately, and I asked them, well, how are you finding the job market? Many of them graduated from college in 06 and 07, and they said, you know, they've been operating on a few part-time jobs, and in fact, when their job in the city slows down, they take a job at the shore for the summer. Some of them are even part-time teachers and you know, substitute teachers. And they said even tips at the shore were down this year. The amount of people were not there. But they said, I'm really looking for a steady job. I'm interested to do the way my parents did it. I admired how they, you know, had a schedule, how we did things, you know, as a family. And with all my skills, all my education, I can't find that type of job. And I have applied everywhere. Most of the opportunities have been downsized. And now what am I going to do? We had a job training program here in Pennsylvania, and a number of people were trained over a period of a year. And they were very good. And I mentioned once before that they had been calling around for jobs, and within 1 year, the jobs that they were training for that were available a year before had been downsized because of the economy or because of outsourcing. So there were 1,000 people ready for a job, certified that they had gone through this most recent job training program. And yet when it comes time for the job is not there because it's been closed down because people in America are not spending money, or the job was taken overseas. So my whole effort and why I've been asking our listeners and our promoters and all the radio stations that promote my commentary is we have to wake people up to get them to start speaking up about what are we going to do to help one another. When you walk into a store and you look on the rack and you pick something up mindlessly, you're not really supporting yourself, your family, your friends, or America's economy if you're not looking to see if there's a competitive product. Our national leaders didn't do it, so we now, the American people, have to do it or we will sink.
Well, there's another side of this that you have to look at is there are, at least in my experience, there are lots of the low entry-level positions available. I mean, people don't want them. You know, as John said last week, you know, there's a lot of people who deign that job is too menial for me to do. But you have to look at it from another standpoint. There was a gentleman who made a recommendation that said, do not borrow for education any more than you will earn the first year that you come out, which is the greatest advice ever, because here's the catch. Is when you come out of school and you're going to have to pay $1,000 a month in college loans, you know, when your repayment comes back because you owe $100,000 coming out. The fact is these people go in and they say, well, I have $1,000 for the loan, $1,000 for rent, and another $1,000 in you know, expenses each month, and the starting job is $35,000 a year, they say, well, I can't take that, and they move on to this plethora of part-time jobs to try and scrounge more money than they can get. The fact is people are borrowing more money than their positions do. So what happens is you have people who come in and they say, well, yeah, I see that you're offering $35,000 for this, but, you know, in order for me to be able to cover my bills, I need $50,000. Well, for $50,000, I need that plus 4 years worth of experience. You don't have the experience. Well, I can't get the experience until you hire me. Well, yes. The problem is, yes, you can get the experience, but you're not going to get the $50,000. Is, you know, that comes on the other end of the spectrum.
Now, see, Joe, just what we are discussing right now, why aren't programs like this, like our discussion, being presented to our young people so they know where they're going? It seems a lot of times, and I've known it through my own kids, that counselors in school encourage you to do anything that's going to make it good for the school, and they want to get you into the best program because that'll be, you know, more credits, more dollars for the school. But in reality, those people should be asking the students, if you got a job after 4 years of college with us in the field that you're looking to go and study for 4 years, will you be able to find the job in that field? That's a question the counselors should be asking, but they don't care. They just, as long as you're coming, whatever liberal arts or whatever you want to come up with, it's fine with us because we're there to fill a seat. And if you get out in 4 years and can't find anything, well, then you have to go to the next training program to teach you something else.
Well, the other piece you have to look at is what they consider viable employment. Is if you look at somebody who goes for like media arts or film in some of these, you know, private schools, you know, Strayer, University of Phoenix, these for-profit ones, is if you get a job at Blockbuster in the film industry, they consider that a viable career path for your degree. In addition, there's a lot of these places that actually hire their students at the end for a year.
But where's the bottom line for the future? I feel, and as I said over the last 10 years, I feel that counselors should be talking with the students before they leave high school to really see what they're all about and then put that advice in some sort of a report to the kid. I'm advising this, maybe you should consider that. Not only grab, you know, what's going to be the easiest for you during the next 4 years, but take on the challenge of learning something that's going to benefit you for life. As I said earlier, we have a lot of young people, 27, 28, 29 years old, who have never experienced one full-time job in America, operating on 2 and 3 jobs because too much of our work is gone, too many of our industries have folded up. What are we going to do? Are we going to hear anything from these national conventions? No, but if we don't, I will be the first one come the fall to attack on every issue. I want to know what is going on. I mean, I work, in, as you mentioned before, in the field of social services. People come and they talk with me about many issues. One of the most important things that I see is that people want to work, but there's no place for them to go to work. So we have to change that around. Candidate offers something, I will sing his praises.
Well, the other side of that is there's also a lot of people who don't want to work. I mean, I know plenty of people who
there should be no, none of this. I don't want to work. All of these entitlements and all have to be reviewed. They have to be cut. You said before, if someone's on an entitlement, they are on our payroll. Joe, you have no idea how many people stopped me to tell me that's the best thing that they ever heard. I remember there was one woman called me up. She said, I should teach people how to be parents. Remember we discussed, mm-hmm. The woman said, send them to me. The first thing we have to teach is people to be parents, to show their children the way. We're not doing that. There should be no entitlements where you just sit back for life and expect that somebody else is going to feed you. Pets are in that category, not people. There's a difference between one P and the other. Pets, we take care of. People take care of themselves. We'll be back in a minute.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
After a long day of play, give your kids what they really want. Great-tasting snacks and meals from Giorgio. Giorgio's delicious mozzarella sticks, toasted American cheese sticks, and macaroni cheese triangles will satisfy even your pickiest eater. Since 1928, Giorgio has stood for quality and nutrition, so you can count on them for great taste and convenient snacks and appetizers. Look for these great Giorgio products and more in your grocer's freezer, and for recipe ideas, log on to GiorgioFoods.com.
The office of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. His office is open Monday through Friday from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening, and he does have additional evening hours on Tuesdays. For more information or an appointment, call Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, at 215-739-8521. That's 215-739-8521. And as we've been speaking about today, the economy in the USA has been very hurtful to the well-being of people who want to do positive things in their life. But they can't, because without a job and an income, things are simply not affordable. And I've been pushing this about the conventions coming up, because I have no idea what's going to happen at these conventions. But I'll be watching this time more closely than I have in the past, and I'll be reading up, because I want to see what they're talking about. I'm not interested in the entitlement aspect, especially for the elderly or the disabled of any age. That's a different story. But entitlements for people that could be working and should be working, I really want to see that addressed, because that simply can't continue. We have too many things to offer in this country. And as I mentioned earlier, we could have 20 million manufacturing jobs, as well as office jobs, sales jobs, return to America simply by returning 50% of our clothing and textile jobs over the next 3-4 years. We got to do it. There's no dancing around. It should have been done 15 years ago, but it hasn't, and it wasn't, and so we have to do something about it. Today, I would also like to ask you to go to our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and on the front page, you'll see some links up there. One is about National Small Business Weekend, which we'll be talking about that next week. There's also the debt clock on there, which I think is an educational factor all in its own. And I'm glad that we were able to put that on the internet, because people in many cases, never sold a dead clock, but they have easy access to it right now. There's also a chart there regarding the debt ceilings, which means how much we were supposed to be allowed to borrow over the years. Take a look at that, and you'll be really surprised to see how our politicians allowed this, the cost of these programs, to just go unbelievable. The cost, absolutely. I heard that little cash register in the back. Loved it. Also, what can you do? There's a link on the right side. What can you do to help? And that will give you some information, and it'll give you the little flyer that I promote, and I'll be promoting it at some of the events I'll be attending. And I'd like to mention that all of you are invited to the Polish American Festival that'll be taking place at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. That will be the first days of September, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and it will continue on the second weekend. All 5 days, the festival will be featuring great music, lots of carnival rides, food, places for you to sit down and enjoy the entertainment, and all of the events there at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So I'll be there each day around the main stage, and you can come over, and I will give you a flyer for you to take, and of course help us to spread the word. But do spread the word, and if you'd like to see more about that festival, go to PolishAmericanFestival.com. And we'll be discussing, and I know that when I go to these events, many people stop and tell me that they listen and they give opinions. And in the fall, we will be returning to our phone callers. And I'm very interested to speak with you. I'll be welcoming some special guests. And of course, I'll be asking for you to continue to spread the word on all the things that we do. You can email me anytime by going to michael@americanworkersradio.com. That's michael@americanworkersradio.com. Joseph, what would you do if you were going to the convention today and there was no discussion about bringing back jobs to America?
Well, I don't actually expect there to be a discussion about bringing back jobs. I mean, we have a very short attention span in the United States, and you know, we're going to fight over abortion and education and Medicare and the Obamacare, and all of those things are somewhat irrelevant. I mean, the big picture that you have to look at is, if you look at Society General's estimation, is that by 2024, 100% of tax revenue will go to entitlements and interest payments. So there will be no military, there will be no education, there will be no money for any of that unless we continue to borrow.
I did see that announced.
So the problem is we need to bring people in. Now, an example of how we have this argument is we argue over whether or not people are paying taxes, and we say 47% of the people pay no taxes, which is true.
Tell me why 40%, 7% of the people. Give me the category.
Well, 47% of the people pay no federal taxes. And the reason is they're either under the limit to pay taxes, or they have enough credits to get refunds. So the earned income tax, the child care credit, the adoption credit, and all these other credits bring 47% of the people below. Now, what the Democrats argue, so the Republicans say we need to expand the number of people paying taxes. What the Democrats say is they may not pay federal taxes, but they're paying state, they're paying local, some of them are paying real estate taxes.
Because as we discuss this, many people say to me, how is it possible in America that 47% of the people are not paying taxes? I said, well, next time Joe brings that up, I'm going to have him clarify.
Now, here's the catch that I have is, I don't care if they're paying state, local. Everybody who buys something pays state and local taxes. The problem is all of these programs ultimately are sourced, funded by the federal tax program. So if money isn't going into the federal tax program,
I see that point,
then it doesn't come down to the Department of Education. So that basically what that means is it's fine. We can get rid of all the entitlement programs and tax people locally. But, you know, the Republican argument is correct, is we need to tax everyone and expand the tax base, because you, if you expect the Department of Education to get $500 million a year for the state from the federal government,
how are they going
to
get
somebody
that?
Has to pay right, that right. $500 million. If it's not going to the feds, then the $500 million is going to have to be collected at the state level. And it's going to be paid for by the state.
Joseph, put that on your list of things to do, because that is a subject that has been brought up to me many times, and I didn't feel myself qualified to answer the question. I said, well, it's because there are a lot of people that are, you know, low income and, you know, this and that. But I think that we should clarify that and make a program about that, because it could be up on the internet site, and I can email it around to our thousands of email contacts to let them know exactly what that means. The fact that 30% or 20% or 10% of the taxes that are not collected from any group of people has to be reconsidered. There's been a lot of discussion about the flat tax and all this and that. I think that all of these controversial issues should be addressed at the national conventions.
Well, there's
not just go there and listen to all these buffaloes standing up there, these bull artists just throwing that and getting the cheering and waving the signs. What are we going to do to bring America back?
Well, the other side of this is, and this is where you can come in with the statistics and why things are misleading, is 47% pay no taxes. But of the people who pay taxes, 5% of those people pay about 97% of the taxes. So the people at the top are paying the lion's share now. The argument is they have more, take more from them. Well, the problem is they're already footing almost the whole bill. And this is the catch that the Republicans have, is they say, you know, when you look at it and you say, oh, yes, we're bringing in $1 trillion, $970 billion of it is coming from this small group.
Small
and they're
percent.
The group that we're chasing around for more money.
Well, this is where I think the whole tax issue has to be addressed. I think we have to lay this particular issue on the table as well. And I'd like to have some tax experts from the federal, from the state, and from the city come in and discuss with us and give us facts. Let us know what the state level is giving in taxes, what is expected from the city, and what's going to the Fed. What you just said was very interesting. If the federal Department of Education doesn't get any money from 47% of the people, how can they expect to be giving the state's money in return?
Well, the other side of that is, what's even harder with it is, when you get into these areas like education, is you continue to say it's for the kids, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. But the fact is although costs have expanded heavily, we've raised salaries and we're constantly fighting contracts, the fact is performance of the children haven't changed.
No.
You know, they 10 years ago, they were terrible, and today they're still pretty terrible.
Is where we've as Americans just allowed all of that to just go on without us being the disciplinarians of the dollars that we're putting in the system. Where is our money going? How is it being spent? If you get on a bus and you pay a fare to go from point A to point B, where are you going if you're giving all the money to the school districts and you don't know what's going to be the bottom line at the end?
The other issue is the school district stimulus was just like an unfunded mandate after the first 2 years. And that's one that we have to discuss, is we raise salaries, and now that the Department of Education isn't giving the money, the taxpayers, like Philadelphia, have to make up for those salary
right.
things. And
well,
that's one of the catches.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've had another interesting discussion. I'm sorry that we don't have more time today. Hopefully something good will happen in the future and we'll be able to be here with you more. And I want to thank you for the compliments that I've received about John Groch and his a great interview with Larkin Connolly and Joseph Evangelist and his many ideas and opinions and being so on top of things. It's really appreciated. Well, that's our broadcast for today. Tune in on Saturday at 11 for our Saturday variety program. David Zenya.